This podcast discusses exchange-traded options issued by the Options Clearing Corporation. Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options, available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting www.888options.com. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice.
Good news for investors this week as the market closed at a 17-week high.
This is OIC's Basic Options Podcast number 7. Option Strategies for Stock Investors, covering long-term equity anticipation securities, also known as LEAPS.
They're long-term equity anticipation securities. Now, a lot of people are, you know, kind of intimidated about LEAPS, or you make a big deal about LEAPS. Oh, LEAPS, you know, they're such a different thing. They're really not. All they really are longer-term options. Now, there are certain things that are different about them. First of all, the whole reason they exist is because they're longer-term options than otherwise tradable options. These options will be at least 12 months until expiration, and they may go out until about 2.5 years until expiration. Now, they put them under different ticker symbols than the traditional options. They'll give them a different root symbol. LEAPS are also not available on all stocks. I think there's about 500 or 600 stocks that have LEAPS listed on them out of all the stocks that are available. Now, one of the concepts that we talked about before is this nonlinear rate of time decay. Whenever you buy an option, you're always fighting time decay, because at some point, the option will have no more time value left to it. But options that are further out in time, as I mentioned before, these lose their time value at much, much smaller incremental rates than do shorter-term options. So, I mean, this is kind of a chart of very typical life of time premium of an option. Now, let's, for comparison purposes, let's look at a 3-month option versus a 2-year LEAP option contract. Okay. Right now, the 90-day contract is trading at $3.33. The 2-year LEAP is trading at $10.97. Now, as time passes, 1 month from now, the 3-month option, which is now a 2-month option, is going to be worth $2.67. It loses 20% of its value in that 1 month period. The LEAP, on the other hand, loses only 3% of its value. After the second month passes, it loses 31% of its value. The LEAP still only loses about 3%. There's a pattern here. As we approach expiration, if this option is still just an at-the-money call, it eventually ends up being worthless. It loses all of its time premium, whereas the LEAP really significantly has retained its value. Okay. Now, here we're assuming that the option expires out of the money, but you know what? This option could be worth something, right? If the option is in the money, it's not going to be worth zero. It's going to have some intrinsic value, but the 3-month option is still not going to have any time value left. So let's take a look at what happens if this 3-month option ends up, or if the stock ends up rallying up $3.25. Let's say, same situation, you have the 90-day call worth $3.33, 2-year LEAP, $10.97. And let's say today there's a $3.25 rise in the stock. Now, you're going to profit 63% by owning the 90-day call and only 21% owning the LEAP, right? So there's a little bit of a trade-off here. There are particular times where buying a 3-month option will have advantages to buying a LEAP, and sometimes where buying a LEAP is going to have an advantage over buying a 3-month option. But let's keep going here. Now, after 1 month has passed with the stock up $3.25, you've only made 44% on your option, whereas with the LEAP, you've made 18%. After another month passes, we're kind of getting neck and neck here, aren't we? After the entire 3 months passes, and the 90-day call has lost all of its time value and is left with only intrinsic value, we still end up with a losing position, despite the fact that the stock advanced by $3.25. We end up making 13% on the leap. So the trade-offs here, short-term options, we're going to have higher leverage, right? They're cheaper, but if the stock pops really quickly, well, that's where you're going to be able to make a lot more on a percentage basis than if you would having bought the leap. But if your forecast calls for, you know, this advancement in the stock price occurring over a much longer period, well, the leap is going to be able to, you know, allow you to capitalize on this forecast where you could end up losing with a shorter term option. When leaps are listed on an option, you know, on a particular stock, what happens is they're listed for at least a year, but it could be up to, say, 2.5 years. So let's look at the longest dated leap. You know, they have a different symbol. You know, if it's like IBM options, the root symbol for the leaps will be something else, like, you know, I don't know, not IBM, it'll be a different symbol. Now, as time passes, the days to expiration of that leap are going to get less and less. Now, at some point, once that leap is under 1 year until its own expiration, well, then it becomes not a leap anymore. It becomes just a regular option, a regular January option. So leaps will roll into being just simply conventional options. I just want to, again, just leave you with a couple of thoughts that options requires a different way of thinking than you're used to thinking. You know, it's this two-step process, first of all, where you buy or sell the option, and then at some point you either exercise it, let it expire, or trade out of it, right? But it also allows you to really think about your forecast in a different way, to take these other things into account, time and volatility and your degree of bullishness or bearishness. And you can think about, hey, there's other things to trade than just simply getting long the market. I can get short the market. Or I can trade a neutral forecast and make money. There's a lot more that you need to take into account. You need to be a little bit more strategic about options. You can't just randomly select them. So you need to do one of a couple things. You need to look for a professional advisor to kind of help you to make some decisions, or you need to kind of continue your option education and learn a little bit more about options and about trading and be able to make your own decisions. Now, how do you go about finding a broker? Well, the neon sign that's flashing that says Joe's Option Shop might not be your best bet. All right. Now, you might know someone who has a reliable broker, and he can refer you to him, all right? And even if somebody does refer you to a broker, it might really behoove you to talk to the broker, to interview him, to ask him some questions about his trading philosophy, you know, to see if it matches your own. Maybe talk to the branch manager, maybe really get a feel for exactly, you know, who's helping you make decisions, who's telling you where to put your money. You might also look at some of the resources that are available at the firm, especially if you're going to be making some of your own decisions. Some online brokerage firms, you know, have some really fantastic trading tools. You know, you can get Delta, you can get graphs, you can get a lot of information. This is kind of the difference between full service and discount brokers. Full service, you're paying a little extra because you're getting advice, right? Discount brokers, you're kind of making your own decisions. When you do sign up for an option account, you're going to have to fill out all this paperwork, right? You should probably read what you're signing. You know? Yeah. You know, there's some information in there, and you really want to know what you're getting yourself into. The risk disclosure document that comes in the front of our book, you can read that if you'd like to. You could probably learn something about your own risk tolerance by reading that. You get trade confirmations. You know, every time you make a trade, you know, you either get one mailed to you if you're using a conventional broker, or if you have an online account, it just gets emailed to you. You know, you can get it emailed to you. You know, you got to look at these things. I mean, this is your money. I mean, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Good news for investors. This week is the market closed at a 17-week high.
This concludes OIC's Option Strategies for Stock Investors Basic Podcast Series. We hope you found it informative and understandable. If you have options questions, give OIC a call toll-free at 1-888-OPTIONS or visit OIC at www.888options.com.